Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This is his biggest charted hit. Really?
Yeah.
Would have sworn it was Your Body is a Wonderland.
Yeah, that peaked at 18.
Sam, pull up Twitter if you would and look at, I just tagged you. I want you to look at that and check it for language. We have reports that there is an active shooter situation in Milwaukee on the campus of Miller Coors. I read that as the beer plant, yeah, Miller Coors.
Yes, it is.
Milwaukee police have tweeted that they are on scene investigating what they are calling a critical incident. Early reports suggest up to 8 people have been shot. And at least one reporter says sources are indicating that the suspect was fired earlier in the day and then returned with a gun. Tactical units are on scene. They're saying multiple casualties.
All right, we'll check on that. Keep you updated as well, of course. The president is going to speak at 5 o'clock this afternoon regarding the coronavirus, and we will carry that live here on KMBZ. Story here from CNN. Headline is, if you drive an expensive car, you're probably a jerk, scientists say. Quoting here from the story.
What?
The science is looking pretty unanimous on this one. Drivers of expensive cars are the worst human beings around. A new study has found that drivers of flashy vehicles are less likely to stop and allow pedestrians to cross the road, with the likelihood that they'll slow down decreasing by 3% for every...
How do they know this?
For the same reason that you're telling me that people are sitting around watching people touch their face.
Here's how they don't know this, Scott. You don't know when you observe what's called an expensive car doing something jerky. You don't know if the person driving that car is the owner of that car.
Most often than not, they are.
You don't know that. How do you know that that's the owner of the car?
Who loans their expensive car to their poor friend?
What does expensive mean?
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Researchers from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas speculated. Mm-hmm. So it's a theory. That the expensive car owners, quote, felt a sense of superiority over other road users and were less able to empathize with lowly sidewalk dwellers. This is from CNN. By the way, the likelihood that you would slow down decreased by 3% for every extra $1,000 your car was worth.
There is no way you could quantify any of that. No way.
Okay. By the way, high-status cars are listed in this survey or study as Audis, BMWs, and Mercedes.
At one point, they used the term flashy. My truck is lifted, and, I mean, it's definitely there to be looked at in a sense.
Yeah, but you're overcompensating.
But wouldn't
something.
big truck drivers say, and by big, I mean the really big extended
cab, big rigs.
Wouldn't they even say that sometimes they are jerkier or perceived to be jerkier, especially in snow and bad weather?
According to a survey of 1,800 drivers by the University of Helsinki in Finland, those deemed to have more disagreeable character traits were, quote, more drawn to high-status cars. But it also found that conscientious people often favor high-priced vehicles as well. If you're reading this while stuck in traffic in your brand-new BMW, yes, you are definitely in this category. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's ridiculous.
Okay. I'm just saying. The survey found...
You can be a jerk and drive a crappy car, or you can be a perfectly lovely driver and drive what is thought to be an expensive car, although some of those cars are not expensive.
What I think you're trying to say is you can be a jerk and drive a crappy car, or you can drive a really expensive car and guarantee to everyone that you're a jerk. I think that's what you're trying to say.
What I meant at all,
oh,
actually.
Oh, I thought that's what you were trying to say. I think this survey is fantastic. Let's see here. What
does costly mean? What if you're leasing it?
What if you bought it used?
Thank you.
Why are you so defensive?
I'm not. I just don't.
She drives nice cars, and she takes personal offense to this study.
I don't think there is any way that they can prove any of this.
Okay, but you seem to be a little bit more defensive than you've been in other stories. What's going on here, kid?
This says people with this type of personality are, as a rule...
By personality, you mean jerk.
No. Are, as a rule, respectable, ambitious, reliable, and well-organized.
And jerks.
They take care of themselves and their health and often perform well at work.
Mm-hmm. And they're jerks.
Look, I drove a minivan with the bumper falling off of
it. Oh, I remember that.
Held on only by a bungee cord for, from Sophie's birth until I didn't drive that car. It was a long time.
Okay.
I'm good.
You just seem a little defensive right now.
Not defensive at all.
Yeah, you are.
I think it's funny.
576-7798.
Are you a jerk? Call now.
Wait. Here's something. What does it say about you based on the car that you drive? And I'm not talking about poor or rich. Because I drive a Kia Sportage. I also do have a 2008 Mercedes in the garage, if that's what you need me to say for you.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I have a 12-year-old Mercedes in the garage, yes.
Do you feel like a jerk when you're driving it?
I feel entitled.
I feel like that was on the list.
I feel entitled. I feel like anybody who comes to that intersection,
but this,
and they're driving a cube.
This is not a study. This is not a study. You know what this is? This is a stereotype. Masked in a quote study.
But let me tell you this, and don't get all lippy with me, BMW, okay?
This is a stereotype. This is not a study.
My car's been paid off for 5 years.
Well, good.
And it sits
in
the
Did you feel
garage.
Like less of a jerk the day you paid it off?
I only feel like a jerk when I'm driving it. When I drive the Kia, I don't feel like a jerk.
Actually, you become 3% nicer when you're driving the Kia.
No.
Oh, 3% per thousand.
Per thousand. Yeah,
my apologies.
So I'm like 50% nicer when I'm driving the Kia.
How much was your Mercedes?
I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. Jerk. For the record, I bought the Mercedes used for $24,000.
You doth protest too much. If you,
I do.
If you Google pickup truck drivers and jerk, you will get results. And I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying this is not a study. This is a stereotype.
Well, there are stereotypes about every kind of car.
Right.
And so, like, when I'm
Prius.
In traffic, tree hugger.
Right?
Yes.
Does not mean that is true.
That's pretty close. Bernie Sanders supporter.
Prius driver.
You could be completely wrong.
Bernie Sanders supporter.
You could have somebody who is cost conscious, who cares about the environment, and also happens to be a Republican. You don't know.
Yeah, I am. I'm one of those.
The Prius driver is, you know,
I'm super
you're a big recycler.
Yes, huge. Until I get behind the wheel of that Mercedes, and then I just want to pollute the earth.
I'm going to mow down some pedestrians.
I'm going to mow down a pedestrian.
Maybe
I'm
throw some plastic in the ocean.
Try to give you some lung cancer.
I'm going to throw that Yeti right out the window.
Whatever. 576-7790.
I don't even speed.
I do. You know why? More emission. 576-7798.
About that time, my wife walked out, and I could see in her eyes that she had her doubts. But she opened the door and said, "Honey, take me for a spin." So we drove uptown just to get the tags, and I headed to ride on down Main Drag. I could hear everybody laughing for blocks around. But up there at the courthouse, they didn't laugh, cause to type it up, it took the whole staff. And when they got through, the title
weighed 60
pounds.
The more expensive car you drive, the bigger jerk you are, the less empathy you have for other people.
What if you steal it one piece at a time? It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Drive everybody wild, cause I'll have the only one there is around.
Great choice, Sam.
Rodney in Blue Springs, 576-7798. Rodney, hello.
Yeah. So I used to live with my sister and brother-in-law in a really affluent neighborhood, and there was this weird merge just as you come into the neighborhood. My brother and I both noticed the more expensive the car was, the more likely they were to cut you off trying to get into the lane. Saw it all the time.
So the study's true. The more expensive the car, the bigger the jerk.
Absolutely.
Yep. What kind of car do you drive?
I drive a Dodge truck.
What are you overcompensating for?
hey.
Tell Dana, I drive a truck, but I'm a nice person.
I believe you, Rodney.
Driver.
I believe you.
I don't.
Dana, you and I are both examples. We are exceptions to the rule.
Thank you, Rodney. I believe you, too.
So you're not overcompensating for anything?
No need to.
Okay. Okay, champion. Dan in Overland Park. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Yeah, my take on it is perhaps a person who goes into debt to buy a flashy car would be more perceived to be a jerk just due to the fact that they can't afford it, so they'd already be more stressed out in life having to pay for it, but also they're clearly not aware of what's important in life if they're focused on going into debt to buy a flashy car.
I wonder what percentage of people who drive an expensive car, and that doesn't necessarily mean flashy.
You can have
an expensive car. Well, I wonder what percent goes into debt over a car.
Well, I was kind of thinking people in their 20s, 30s, my age, but if you're in your 40s and you can afford a $50,000 car, I wouldn't see that as expensive to you.
Yeah.
However, if I buy a $20,000 car and I can't afford a $20,000 car, that would be expensive to me.
But define a, and the story just calls it an expensive car.
Yeah, what does that mean? Because the new ones are.
Is it anything over 40 grand? Is it anything over 30 grand? Is it maybe a $75,000 car? Maybe a Maserati is what qualifies as expensive to you?
Well, I think you're missing the point. It depends on if you make 20 grand a year, or do you make 100?
No, that it doesn't matter what you make per se. You can look at a house and say that's an expensive house. It doesn't matter what the person makes as long as they got the mortgage.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be more stressed having to pay a higher mortgage due to what you make? Wouldn't that kind of affect your personality or kind of show your lack of awareness of what's important in life if you're trying to impress other people without taking into consideration what you make?
Mm. Okay. All right.
That's my thought.
I appreciate the call, buddy. And it's a really good point.
What was your first nicer car?
I loved, I in 1995 or six, I bought stick shift, of course, a Ford Probe, cherry red. I loved it. I loved that car.
Okay. I had a red Honda Civic stick shift, of course.
Of course.
And I loved that car. And it was the first car that I bought after I got my first good job.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd still be driving that Ford Probe if it had more than two doors.
Was it expensive? No. I don't think so. I don't remember it being expensive.
I think my Ford Probe was $15,000.
Yeah.
So it wasn't expensive. But I just, it was sporty yet sedanish.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I drove that red Civic, sporty looking thing, until I had my first child. And then we traded it in for a Buick.
I drove the...
oh, man. Okay. Like in a used Buick.
Simmer down, Matthew McConaughey. I drove the Ford Probe until we had Sarah because to get her into the back seat...
Right.
I had to...
Flip up the front seat.
The front seat had to go up.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't fit in the back seat unless I did that. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, man.
So now we can't use the Ford Probe unless I'm just taking her to daycare.
And when I say Buick, I don't mean Matthew McConaughey. I mean... Robin's Egg blue felt seats.
The old boats.
Oh, that's nice.
And it had a sticker on the back windshield that was some kind of like Mason's Lodge membership person. I mean, I think.
So you bought it from somebody who knew the secrets?
Yes. Yes. And then people would drive by us and be like, you're not a Mason.
Where's the Holy Grail?
If you hit the hard left hard enough, you will slide from the left seat all the way to the right seat.
Correct.
That's a classic.
Oh, yeah. We rocked that Buick.
Excuse me?
Well, not like that.
Is that why we have three others? Backseat Joe, now.
This is a sturdy car for hauling an infant around. And you're right. You cannot have a tiny little sporty car with a baby in the back seat.
Did you guys ever?
No, in a Buick?
I'm asking a question.
Nothing quite says let's get it on like a 1980 felt seated Buick.
Agreed.
It was horrifying. I hated that
car. I absolutely agree. Nothing says get it on like a felt seat in a Buick.
Who says I can't get stoned? Turn off the lights and the telephone. Me in my house alone. Who says I can't get stoned? Who says I can't be free from all of the things that I used to be?
We're going to end this conversation with this text.
My history.
Who says I can't from 2282, or 52. Scott had a Ford Probe. Has he been gay his whole life or just post-probe, signed Dr. Dick Pound?
Really?
Listeners with material.
A reference to yesterday's program.
Which you can find on podcasts. Steve Vockrot with the Kansas City Star just
good reporter,
sent out phenomenal
really good
treasure
reporter.
And just sent out this tweet. And I think this is important enough that we should talk about it. He writes... Colorado is on its way to abolishing the death penalty. And if you click on the story, Colorado lawmakers voted for the death penalty repeal in the middle of the night. A bleary-eyed Colorado House voted for a bill to repeal the death penalty around 4 a.m. after 11 hours of discussion. The bulk of that time was taken up by Republicans either making speeches or bringing various unsuccessful bill amendments in an effort to slow the bill's roll. And I need to look. I don't remember.
The story's in the Denver Post.
Oh, it's all over today. I don't remember, you know, are they an active death penalty state? And by active, I mean like a Texas or a Florida, where Kansas would be an inactive death penalty state. We have it on the books. We don't even have the means to do it.
That is correct. Last Colorado execution.
And I've said again and again, why do we even have it? Colorado would be, by the way, the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty.
Last execution in Colorado was in October of 1997.
So they're Kansas. Essentially, they're Kansas. It's on the books. It's not used even for the worst of the worst of the worst on death row. And make no mistake, we have them. They're never going to be executed. Keith Nelson would have been executed if they wanted to execute him.
Well, Keith Nelson is in the federal system.
Are the Carr brothers in the federal system?
No, that's Kansas.
That's Kansas. There is no worst of the worst of the worst than those cases. Certainly the Carr case. And they're
Johnny
still
Robinson,
here.
BTK. Those are all guys on the Kansas death row.
Why do we have it if it's never going to be used?
I don't know. I mean, if anybody qualified, and look up the Carr brothers, by the way.
Well, tell me again, what year was the last Colorado? What did you say?
It was October 13th of 1997. Gary Lee Davis, convicted murderer and rapist.
Okay.
And he's the only one that Colorado has executed since the death penalty was reinstated in 1977.
So let me ask you this. So it's been 23 years.
In 43 years, Colorado's executed one person.
It's been 23 years since they executed Gary Lee Davis.
Correct.
Why did it take 4 a.m., 11 hours of debate? It's been 23 years. If this was so important to maintain this in the state of Colorado, they would be doing this more frequently than once in 23 years.
I would agree with that.
If lawmakers really felt like this was important.
Probably because they like to use it, I would imagine, and I don't mean this disparagingly. I would imagine prosecutors like to use the threat of the death penalty as just that, a threat.
Well, unless no one reads ever on the defense side, it is an empty threat. It's an empty threat.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if Johnny Robinson, who has been on death row in the state of Kansas for 20 years, if he has not gone to the gallows, nobody's going
God,
to the gallows.
I had forgotten about this, Scott. The state of Kansas has not conducted an execution since.
Do you 1956?
1965.
65. I got them back.
I'm going to say that again. State of Kansas has not conducted an execution since 1965.
Yep.
And Kansas brought it back in 1972 with no signature from Governor Joan Finney. She just allowed it to become law without her signature.
You said, no, you meant 1995.
94, pardon me, you're right.
Okay, all right. I think you said 1975.
So why have it?
A threat. If you go to death row, you're the worst of the worst. You're not going to be, I mean, Johnny Robinson is 77 years old now. When he went to prison, he was in his 50s. This is a man who liquefied human remains in barrels.
If 22 states have abolished the death penalty, you think Kansas will eventually become one of them? And if not, why?
No.
Because you look tough on crime if you...
Well, no. To abolish...
Or you look soft on crime if you want to abolish.
There it is. If you go out and say, you know, we're not using it, we haven't used it in, you know, 50 some odd years. I mean, the last person who was, and I'm not bloodthirsty, so please don't misinterpret this, but the last person who was executed in Kansas was executed 6 years before I was born. And I wasn't born yesterday.
There are currently 10 people on death row, all males, but it really isn't even death row.
Who are they?
They're housed in El Dorado. I can look them up.
Well, there's nowhere to execute them.
Correct.
We don't have a death chamber.
Correct.
I know. They had one in Lansing, but it's dilapidated.
What do you think happened to it? Is it still there?
I have no idea. Do you think I've ever been in that prison? I've driven by it 5,000 times.
I don't know. Like, I know that you're from there, and I thought maybe that was something you would know because you were...
Well, no, you don't go in it unless you have to. I have no idea. I have driven by the Lansing prison 5,000 times. I've never once stepped foot on their property. Telephone number here is 576-7798. I'm all for the death penalty. I got no problem with it. Well, let me rephrase that. I always subscribe to the Dana and Parks method. If we know, then you go.
Lawmakers have come close to advancing a death penalty repeal, Scott, before. A 2010 repeal bill failed in the Senate on a 2020 Senate vote.
In what state?
Kansas.
Okay.
A 2003 study by state auditors found that cases where the death penalty was sought and imposed cost 70% more than cases where the death penalty was not pursued. The estimated median cost of a death penalty case is $1.2 million compared to $740,000 for a non-capital case.
I'm looking up who's on Kansas death row.
And I want to be sure we don't have... I thought I remembered reading they were looking at moving the chamber. But I need to look that up and be sure.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find all the names just like in a row. Jonathan Carr, Reginald Carr, those two.
Wichita.
D-bags, yeah. Johnny Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, look at him now. Smiling.
I'd rather not look at him.
A little fatter than he was when he got convicted.
Who else?
He's 72, by the way. Sidney Gleason. Not familiar with him. Scott Cheever. Ah. Gary Kleypas.
Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
But he was tried here in Wyandotte County. Some guy named Justin Thurber. James Coller. Accused of, convicted of killing his estranged wife and his two daughters. And his grandmother-in-law. Frazier Glenn Cross. I thought the guy down in Ottawa was on death row. Fleck or Flack or whatever his name was. Huh. Yeah, Flack is on there as well. Sorry. Kyle Flack. Remember him?
Yeah.
Killed four people down in Ottawa.
Since 1976, Missouri has executed, at the time of this story, which was a couple years ago, Missouri has executed 87, and Kansas, again, is none.
576-7798. Get to your calls, your comments here in just a moment. Chris in North Kansas City. Hang tight. We'll get with you first. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Favorite bands of all time, Y&T. They're coming to town, and I will see you March 5th at the Voodoo Lounge. One of the greatest rock bands of all time. Y&T, March 5th, Voodoo Lounge. See you there. We are talking about a story that Steve Vakrot reposted on Twitter out of the Denver Post. The Colorado legislature is poised to eliminate the death penalty in the state of Colorado. Since the death penalty was reinstated nationally in 1977, it should be noted Colorado has executed one person.
23 years ago.
Correct. The state of Kansas, with 10 people on death row, some of the worst, has executed zero.
And I want to clarify one thing. I cannot find the story that I swore I read a while back.
I can't believe BTK's not on death row, by the way.
That I swore I read a while back that we do not have an up-and-running operation to even execute if they wanted to in Kansas. I cannot find it. What I found is that Kansas is considering moving its execution chamber, that is unused, from Lansing to El Dorado. Mm. And I can't find anything since those stories were posted back in like 2017, 2018 about the status of moving it. Kansas does not have a, quote, death row. The 10 inmates on what would be considered a death row are actually in
El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And several people, by the way, are writing in saying there is a death chamber in Lansing. It does still work, but it's dusty.
It's a lethal injection site.
By dusty, you mean it hasn't been used in, 54 years? 55 years? Chris in North Kansas City. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good.
Thank you.
Hey, there is no gas chamber at Lansing. It's in El Dorado. Lansing used to do executions by hanging, and the last one that was hung, I can't remember his name, but it was in reference to the Clutter murders that was based on in cold blood.
Yeah, they were two of the last four, actually, Chris.
Right. The hangman's noose from that is in the warden's office under glass with a lot of other little things that's been acquired. But the actual gas chamber is in El Dorado, and it is a very ominous-looking place.
And would it be gas, or is it lethal injection, Chris?
Without throwing myself under a bus, the last time I was around that, it was gas. It was mothballs and an acid.
And can you tell us why you were there?
Possession with intent to distribute.
Oh, so you saw it because you do not work within the penal system. You were incarcerated.
That is correct.
Okay. And they let you guys see it?
Well, you don't actually walk by it, but you walk by where it is. I mean, you know, you go to and from work or to and from chow, but it is there. They're not going to let you go in and look at it.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right, man. Hey, glad we got you in.
And real quick, I found an old story about that. So Smith and Hickok. I always want to call him Perry. Perry was his first name. Smith and Hickok were two of the last four.
This is the Inkoop blood.
Yes,
murders.
That were executed by hanging. And I did not know this. Those two men are actually buried in Lansing, Scott.
At Mount Muncie Cemetery.
At Mount Muncie, yeah.
Which was about 2 miles from my parents' house.
They actually showed some photos of the old gallows that were used in that infamous case. And there were stories written about it on the 50th anniversary of that crime, which was about 5 years ago.
Let's go to Charles in Overland Park. Hello, Charles.
Yeah, I just want to clear up. How are you guys doing?
So
we're doing
good.
Well, thanks.
Go ahead.
Wanted to clear up a couple things. One is they have the equipment in El Dorado for the lethal injection. The problem is they don't have the drugs. And another thing is there is a good reason why I wouldn't want them repealing it in Kansas, even though they don't carry it out, is because the prisoners in Kansas that are under sentence of death are segregated and don't get any of the privileges that, for instance, the life without paroles and life sentences get. They don't get to mingle with the rest of the population. They get out, you know, half hour a day, you know, 23 and a half hour a day lockdown. Mm-hmm. So they're not allowed to do a lot of the things that if you just simply had life, you would get to go out to population. You would get more like canteen type privileges and things of that nature. So I wish they would carry it out because, I mean, like the Wichita Massacre, that thing, you know, those guys, those Carr brothers definitely deserve it, if anybody. But I just, you know, it is what it is. If they don't, they don't. The Supreme Court in the United States actually kicked back the appeal on the Carr brothers and reinstated. And
yeah, said, I remember that. You know, hey, Charles, thank you for the information. I looked it up, and I do remember the controversy over actually physically being able to get the drug that would even be used to carry it out. And you remember why, Scott? What pharmacy in America is going to sell you that drug? Because it's a government purchase. Do you remember this controversy? It would have to be open record. Where do you get it? Who's providing it? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And how the heck are you going to get someone to openly say, we were the ones that provided the drug that led to the da-da-da-da-da-da-da? I do remember that controversy. Do you care?
The state's check balance? It's a business. What you do with what I sell you is none of my business.
It's, I think, the whole do no harm thing.
You're a pharmacy. You're not a doctor. Oh, I can already hear it now.
I was going to say, those are among the smartest people in the world.
I'm not saying they're not smart.
I'd walk that back.
Try to prescribe medicine. As a pharmacist.
But you understand the barriers and the red tape that would be involved to identify someone who would be willing to say, yes, we'll be the place that gives you the cocktail.
I'll create a company that buys the drugs from God knows where, and I'll sell it to the state. As long as their check doesn't bounce, I don't care. I really don't. By the way, the president's news conference has been moved back to 5:30. So we will carry that live. He's going to talk about the coronavirus. 5:30 this afternoon. We will carry that live here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.